They came from towns across this land. One last tour, one last stand. Most could walk, some could not.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, so coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Our special guest is Karen Relke with Honor Flight, and we are talking about how they started, why it's important, how you can get involved. If you have a question or a comment, you can always leave it on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, or call us, text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tom is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Did you have a question for Karen?
Good morning. First off, thank God for you guys, Jane and Greg. Really appreciate you. Karen, I am so, this is such a great thing, and it's such an awesome thing that you guys do. I'm going to ask you more of a philosophical question, if I can. The only place where I see that war or that evil is shown is through war. And I'm just wondering, you know, because I'm a peacenik. I'm a person that doesn't believe in war. I'm a person that believes it doesn't solve anything. But I'm just wondering, when you talk to these veterans, do they actually, like, believe, like, there's, like, good and evil, and that's why we have war? I don't know if that's too big of a question to ask or not, but I'm just trying to get a perspective from that.
I think that's a big ask for Karen. I mean, she's dealt with 10,000 veterans, Tom, over the years.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer as best I can. Really, what we're talking to these vets about is what happened to them on a personal level 50 years ago. So most of these vets were kids. They
were 19 years old.
They were many were drafted, and many did not realize what they were getting into, both as they were sent there, wherever that may have been, and what they were going to experience when they came home. And, you know, I think they had seen their dads and their uncles fighting in World War II. And, you know, most would agree genuinely saving the world at that point. And, you know, the ones who enlisted felt like this was their chance to make a difference and didn't really understand what was going to happen, what they were getting into. And then those that were drafted felt like they had no choice. So, you know, we don't get too philosophical on an honor flight day. What we're most concerned about is trying to heal those old wounds and really acknowledge what these folks went through and the lives that they've built since then.
These aren't the policymakers. They're not. No. They weren't the decision makers. They were doing what they were told to serve their country.
And Tom just texted us as well. He said they are definitely heroes.
So. Yeah, and in many cases, you know, they have a different take on heroism.
Yeah.
You know, a hero can be somebody who, you know, lost their best friend in something, in a place that they didn't want to be, and came home and had people calling them names for even being there when they had no choice, but they still managed to build a life as best they could and get beyond that. So that's heroic as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You need to go. You need to go. You need to get involved. Volunteer, even though you have plenty right now, you're always, volunteers are always welcome. Get involved, learn more. And as you said, Karen, it's about the individual and helping this individual heal.
It is.
From wounds from a really long time ago.
Yeah, it is. And actually, you know, some of these vets came home and maybe weren't the best dads and or moms. And you know, as they struggled to build their life back. And in some cases, when they fly with a son or a daughter and experience this day together, those bonds are strengthened. And so even if it's not necessarily about their service, sometimes it's about renewing relationships. Sometimes it's about a vet who's 75 and a widower who's lonely and gets to spend a day in the company of other people having a wonderful day. It means different things to different people, but really it's a celebration of some of our oldest vets and what they've brought to their communities and their families.
And I would think, too, the ability to talk to other veterans, because most of us who are not in the military, we have no concept.
No, we have no idea.
None of what they had to deal with and what they were dealing with. And so some of those stories must be so intensely personal. You need someone else who has lived through that.
Yes.
In order to share it.
And many of our Vietnam vets, we've been told, didn't feel welcome to places like the VFW or the American Legion. So they didn't join those kind of vet schools.
Oh.
So again, not an opportunity to share with other vets until they're surrounded on flight day. And we tend to, where we sit vets next to each other on the plane with their guardians behind them, mm-hmm. so that
they can share.
So that they can share. Yep.
Well, that's something too, is like, you know, growing up, I grew up here in Waukesha, and the VFW on Summit is now gone. And I have to imagine, because of that sort of treatment of the Vietnam vets, they didn't join, so they didn't go to the Vietnam. And now the ones who kept those posts up and running are gone now, and no one's there to take up the mantle and move forward with it. It's really sad, because it was a place where, I mean, even, you know, some places, I don't know, I'm a man, and I feel lucky that I live in a country where I'm not going to be drafted into a military. Mm-hmm. And you can't understand that kind of luck and privilege until you talk to somebody whose number came up on television and they were going. You had no choice, because you didn't have the ability to get out. You're going to war. And I think that's another aspect of, like, you know, understanding just that journey and knowing that I don't have to do that anymore. Then that I'm lucky. I didn't want to be in the military. Mm-hmm. My dad was, he didn't want that for me. So we're losing these experiences and we're losing these opportunities to connect. And the VFW thing really hits with me, because I wish there were, like, I see them closing around the area, mm-hmm. and that's really sad.
Well, support is always important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Support is always important. And you can help support the Honor Flight. As Karen mentioned, you can make a donation. You can try and volunteer. You can certainly be there for the welcoming committee at Mitchell International Airport. We will have all the links,
yes.
in our show notes. It takes about an hour,
yeah.
after the show to get those posted. So check it out. Everything will be there. Karen Rilke with the Honor Flight, thank you so very, very much. Memorial Day is this weekend. It's on Monday. That is remembering those who have been lost. The Honor Flights are to honor those that we still have. Buy a poppy too.
Correct.
Buy
thank
a poppy.
You so, thank you yeah. so much for having me.
Absolutely,
of course,
Karen.
Of course.
We will have you back. Stay with us. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
One more honor to receive from their country. They talked of war and battles they'd been in, from Normandy to Berlin to the fields of Tianjin. Bodies worn from age, but eyes still so clear. Brave tears to flow, remembering those years. Standing at the monuments, saluting straight once more. Bronze and granite memories of those who went before. And when the time had come, fly on home again. Finally they knew they'd made a difference. Fight for honor one last time. A few more hours they stood in line. One more honor to receive from them. They came from town across this land, one last tour, one last stand. Most could walk, some could not.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Galvin Butenhoff, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Our special guest is Karen Rilke with Honor Flight, and we are talking about how they started, why it's important, how you can get involved. If you have a question or a comment, you can always leave it on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, or call us, text at 855 75 Civic, 855-752-4842. Tom is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Did you have a question for Karen?
Good morning. First off, thank God for you guys, Jane and Greg. Really appreciate you. Karen, I am so, this is such a great thing, and it's such an awesome thing that you guys do. I'm going to ask you more of a philosophical question if I can. The only place where I see that war or that evil is shown is through war. And I'm just wondering, you know, because I'm a peacenik. I'm a person that doesn't believe in war. I'm a person that believes it doesn't solve anything. But I'm just wondering, when you talk to these veterans, do they actually, like, believe, like, there's, like, good and evil, and that's why we have war? I don't know if that's too big of a question to ask or not, but I'm just trying to get a perspective from that.
I think that's a big ask for Karen. I mean, she's dealt with 10,000 veterans, Tom, over the years.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer as best I can. Really, what we're talking to these vets about is what happened to them on a personal level 50 years ago. So most of these vets were kids. They
were 19 years old.
They were 20 many years old. Many were drafted, and many did not realize what they were getting into, both as they were sent there, wherever that may have been, and what they were going to experience when they came home. And, you know, I think they had seen their dads and their uncles fighting in World War II. And, you know, most would agree genuinely saving the world at that point. And, you know, the ones who enlisted felt like this was their chance to make a difference and didn't really understand what was going to happen, what they were getting into. And then those that were drafted felt like they had no choice. So, you know, we don't get too philosophical on an honor flight day. What we're most concerned about is trying to heal those old wounds and really acknowledge what these folks went through and the lives that they've built since then.
These aren't the policymakers. They're not. No. They weren't the decision makers. They were doing what they were told to serve their country.
And Tom just texted us as well. He said they are definitely heroes.
So. Yeah, and in many cases, you know, they have a different take on heroism.
Yeah.
You know, a hero can be somebody who, you know, lost their best friend in something, in a place that they didn't want to be, and came home and had people calling them names for even being there when they had no choice, but they still managed to build a life as best they could and get beyond that. So that's heroic as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You need to go. You need to go. You need to get involved. Volunteer, even though you have plenty right now, you're always, volunteers are always welcome. Get involved, learn more. And as you said, Karen, it's about the individual and helping this individual heal.
It is.
From wounds from a really long time ago.
Yeah, it is. And actually, you know, some of these vets came home and maybe weren't the best dads or moms. And you know, as they struggled to build their life back. And in some cases, when they fly with a son or a daughter and experience this day together, those bonds are strengthened. And so even if it's not necessarily about their service, sometimes it's about renewing relationships. Sometimes it's about a vet who's 75 and a widower who's lonely and gets to spend a day in the company of other people having a wonderful day. It means different things to different people, but really it's a celebration of some of our oldest vets and what they've brought to their communities and their families.
And I would think, too, the ability to talk to other veterans, because most of us who are not in the military, we have no concept.
No, we have no idea.
None of what they had to deal with and what they were dealing with. And so some of those stories must be so intensely personal. You need someone else who has lived through that.
Yes.
In order to share it.
And many of our Vietnam vets, we've been told, didn't feel welcomed at places like the VFW or the American Legion. So they didn't join those kind of vet schools.
Oh.
So again, not an opportunity to share with other vets until they're surrounded on flight day. And we sit vets next to each other on the plane with their guardians behind them so that
they can share.
So that they can share. Yep.
Well, that's something too, is like, you know, growing up, I grew up here in Waukesha, and the VFW on Summit is now gone. And I have to imagine, because of that sort of treatment of the Vietnam vets, they didn't join, so they didn't go to the Vietnam. And now the ones who kept those posts up and running are gone now, and no one's there to take up the mantle and move forward with it. It's really sad, because it was a place where, I mean, even, you know, some places, I don't know, I'm a man, and I feel lucky that I live in a country where I'm not going to be drafted into a military. Mm-hmm. And you can't understand that kind of luck and privilege until you talk to somebody whose number came up on television and they were going. You had no choice, because you didn't have the ability to get out. You're going to war. And I think that's another aspect of, like, you know, understanding just that journey and knowing that I don't have to do that anymore. Then that I'm lucky. I didn't want to be in the military. Mm-hmm. My dad was, he didn't want that for me. So we're losing these experiences, and we're losing these opportunities to connect. And the VFW thing really hits with me, because I wish there were, like, I see them closing around the area. Mm-hmm. And that's really sad.
Well, support is always important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Support is always important. And you can help support the Honor Flight. As Karen mentioned, you can make a donation. You can try and volunteer. You can certainly be there for the welcoming committee at Mitchell International Airport. We will have all the links in our show notes. It takes about, takes about an hour after the show to get those posted. So check it out. Everything will be there. Karen Rilke with the Honor Flight, thank you so very, very much. Memorial Day is this weekend. It's on Monday. That is remembering those who have been lost. The honor flights are to honor those that we still have. Buy a poppy, too.
Correct.
Buy
thank
a poppy.
You so, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely,
of course,
Karen.
Of course.
We will have you back. Stay with us. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
One more honor to receive. From their country. They talked of war and battles they'd been in, from Normandy to Berlin to the fields of Tianjin. In bodies worn from age, but eyes still so clear, brave tears to flow, remembering those years. Standing at the monuments, saluting straight once more, bronze and granite memories of those who went before. And when the time had come to fly on home again, finally they knew they'd made a difference. Flight for honor one last time. A few more hours they stood in line. One more honor to receive from them.
I are like oil and water. We've been trying.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenhoff. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join our conversation. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest join us. Thank you for carving out some time for us. U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, representing Wisconsin's 2nd Assembly District. Good morning, Representative Pocan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
We're going to talk to you about Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. I understand he's really delightful. I can't wait to talk more about him. But we wanted to start off with, we saw your new spot this morning, Mr. Pocan, about this oil company executive maybe making a couple deals with OPEC. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
You know, this didn't get a lot of attention and should have got a lot more. The Federal Trade Commission, which I think is doing an amazing job. You know, Joe Biden has put Lina Khan as the chair, and she's been going after these big corporations that are ripping off consumers in a number of ways, generally through consolidation. But they did an action against this oil company executive who just sold his company to Exxon who we found out there's been hundreds of private and public messages he's had with OPEC, which is a Saudi Arabian organization, to price fix and supply fix oil to make consumers in Wisconsin and across the country pay more for gasoline. And the fact that, you know, I did the math on this at $1 a gallon in difference, which is very likely what the difference is if you start doing this, that's something like $160 billion with a B a year cost to consumers in extra prices so that this guy can have an extra vacation or two a year with his family. And the FTC did say he can't be appointed to the board of directors for Exxon for a number of years, but you know, I think we need to do a little more. I think orange is the new black. I'd like to see this guy in a jumpsuit. I think that's what we need to do with these people. But between some of the food giants doing this on food prices and oil execs doing this on gas prices, too many consumers are getting ripped off.
We've talked about this quite a bit on the show about greedflation. And we all see it when we go to the grocery store. We all know the price of things are up. And yes, we are. We still have inflation compared to other G7 countries. We're far better off than anybody else. And it is about greed. It is about price fixing. Yeah. It is about
gouging.
And I think, too, when you're only talking about a buck, that doesn't seem like so much. So it's kind of easily missed. But when you add it up like that, that's enormous. Woof, that's a lot of money.
It's still $20 a week for my tank of my Jeep Wrangler. Okay. You know, if I'm paying $1 more than I should be because of these oil executives, and if everyone does that per year, suddenly, you know, that's $1,000 a year. That's a lot of money out of what otherwise you could be spending money on a vacation or maybe a snowmobile or whatever, you know, your luxury is in Wisconsin. But you know, this is exactly gouging. And, you know, I think, one, the president should call us out. This just happened this month. I mean, we should really be highlighting this more, and I wish the president would be more aggressive because, as you said, we had worldwide inflation when the world reopened post-COVID. You know, I understand you had limited supply. Everyone was open. You had a lot of demand. And Joe Biden clearly didn't cause inflation for the world, the planet, right? So that takes away any argument that this is Joe Biden's fault. But when we're watching, you know, while many areas have gone down and Joe Biden has gone after and reduced costs on healthcare and energy for us in other ways, you know, this is a few lingering things. And, you know, it's largely big companies behaving badly at costing consumers.
Representative Mark Pocan is our guest. He represents Wisconsin's 2nd Assembly District. And I have to think back also, Mr. Pocan, to when Donald Trump had a fundraiser for oil company executives and essentially said, just, you know, give me $1 billion and I'm going to overturn all environmental protections and you guys can just do whatever you want.
Well, that's 1/150th of what the cost to consumers is, right? Just to price fix us at $1 a gallon. That seems like a bargain, right? It's a good investment. But, you know, this is what you'll get more of with Donald Trump. I mean, don't forget his tax break, the largest adding to our nation's debt in history. 83% of the money went to the top 1%. So, you know, I just saw polling this morning where people think the economy is not going well and they're blaming Joe Biden and they're outright wrong on every major statistic, but it's MAGA, you know, and unfortunately MAGA, I think, is letting in many cases racism and other issues, you know, the cult-like behavior they have with Donald Trump, ignore the reality that they had now because of the investments that we're doing in infrastructure. People have jobs coming up for years in construction, which is a good thing. The bad thing is they're paying more out of pocket for some things because of these big companies and because of Trump and Trump's donors who are going to allow these actions to continue.
And I guess I just want to clarify, oil companies and oil company executives have really been struggling
last few years.
It's been...
Hey, Jane, can we be a little nicer to them? It's tough times.
I know, they're having tough times.
Yeah.
And that's this is the craziness. So I'm, you know, I had three different meetings last week with the Biden campaign and the administration, and every single one I've recommended they be more aggressive on this. I saw some polling actually by Clinton's old pollster, who's married to Rosa DeLauro, who's like one of my favorite members, colleagues in Congress. She's from Connecticut and would be, when we take the majority, she'll be the chair of the Appropriations Committee, which is really important. And I serve on that committee. But that polling showed that, you know, people, infrastructure and abortion are a little lower on the list, I think, than the Biden campaign thinks. But cost of living is very front and center in mind. And Joe Biden's done so many good things. When you test him, he's got a great message. I mean, if you're a senior out of Medicare, $2,000 max out of pocket for prescriptions, saving people thousands of dollars, $35 limit on insulin. But unfortunately, Republicans only let us do it for people on Medicare. And for the first time ever, we're negotiating for prescription drug prices through Medicare, taking on Big Pharma. There's 15,000 lobbyists in Washington, of which 10% are Big Pharma alone. And Joe Biden is taking them on for consumers. That's the kind of messaging we need to get out there.
You mean not that our Big Pharma executives, again, are struggling because they only have three villas and they really want four.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, again, I think part of the interesting part of this one poll I just saw is people are ignoring their own financial well-being under Joe Biden in order to kind of live this MAGA lifestyle. And, you know, I think we just got to talk to the normal people out there. And there are plenty in Wisconsin so that they vote their best interest this November.
And that's one of the things we talk about, sir, is that, you know, people have this very insular look at the economy. They think, oh, because I'm not making so much money, because I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, the economy is terrible. When we have to look at job creation, we have to look at growth, we have to look at quarterly growth, and are we inching near recession or not? And the numbers, pure and simple, say that we are in great economic growth. There is inflation. We need to take care of that. But that's one of the things we talk about, and one of the reasons why we have you here is to get that out there and be like, yes, it might be tough in your home. You might be pulling on the belt a little bit more, but the economy is good, and that's because you have a government that's fighting for you. I know some people might be laughing as I say that, but the numbers do not lie. The numbers don't take your feelings into consideration. They're good numbers.
Yeah, and taking on Big Pharma is a big effing deal, as the president would say, right?
Yeah.
You know, they are like the cartel of cartels, and you know, they make the Colombians look like, you know, pikers, right? Like, what are they up to? Come on, we're Big Pharma. He's taking them on, and this is huge. And we're going to actually lower the cost of healthcare for people. And he's also doing that on the energy side while investing in renewable energies as well. Like right now, there's a site, rewiringamerica.org. that people should check out. If you want to know how you can benefit from anything we did in the Inflation Reduction Act, as far as buying fuel efficient appliances and the tax credits you can get for solar and all this other stuff, it's rewiringamerica.org. And people can find out everything that you can get where you live. And yes, I just always like to mention that website. Yeah.
I know we only have you for a couple of more minutes, Representative Pocan. So let's talk a little bit about the charming and lovely Louis DeJoy and what is going on with the post office and what is coming up next. So
I can honestly say I've never heard charming and loving in the same sentence as Louis DeJoy, just so you know, ever. So actually, he did do one thing I didn't think was possible. He unified Democrats and Republicans. We had a private meeting. He refused to do it public. He did it in the Senate for public, but he didn't trust, I guess, us in the House. And Democrats and Republicans almost unanimously were hand in hand saying, you suck. What you are doing is awful for our constituents. It's not a right-left issue. It's a you are awful issue when it comes to Postmaster DeJoy. In Wisconsin, he took all the processing centers and consolidated them to one in Milwaukee. He's doing this right now in Georgia, 10 processing centers in the state of Georgia down to one in Atlanta. And guess what? Democrats and Republicans represent Georgia, and they're not real happy with the service. And all he does is talk about the cost savings. It was the end of a meeting when he finally said, you know, the mission is to get the mail out. And I'm like, it would have been good if you started with that sentence. I would have thought you understood the mission, but I'm not so sure you do. So, you know, it was interesting because I literally was fist bumping with Republicans that normally we would be doing other things with our fists, you know, and he brought unity to Congress. See, so I'm going to give him credit.
We can do things together. We can actually, unite across the aisles and actually agree on things. It's actually possible.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, when I started telling him some of the stories, because he wrote me a non-letter back saying, oh, weather was bad. No, actually winter was not that bad in Wisconsin, and he had some other excuses, but we had people waiting 5 days for mail. It's been really awful.
Representative Mark Pocan, thank you so very, very much for taking some time to talk to us today. I hope we can have you on back again when you have more time.
Yeah, I'd love to anytime. Sorry this morning. I know it got a little weird.
Really
no
appreciate
worries,
it.
Sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank
have a
you.
Wonderful day.
Thanks a lot.
Representative Mark Pocan, representing Wisconsin's 2nd Assembly District. Really grateful to have him join us on the show today.
And also hear Congressman say, you suck.
I really wanted to ask him. We didn't have time. Derek Van Orden, along with some other House Republicans, of course, are going to Normandy on June 6th to jump out of a plane. And I really wanted to ask him if he was going to join them or maybe offer to pack the chutes. Somebody's got to pack them.
I mean, it's hard work. You know, it's really hard work when you're not taking care of the farmers that you say you care about.
Right.
You're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fly to Israel in the time of an important vote. And when the country is sort of teeter-tottering here with leadership, but also let's go skydiving.
I mean, we have a two vote majority.
Yeah, and
or
also
a one vote majority. Yeah, let's go jump out of planes. It'll be great.
Who's gonna pay for this? Doesn't matter. Probably the people.
We have a comment on the live stream from Tony. Just a suggestion. Maybe he could give them a push out of the plane.
I said nothing, Tony. I don't agree with that. I don't.
We don't want
disagree with that.
We're joking.
I'm just a guy sitting here listening to a congressman talk. And saying, Louis DeJoy, you suck. That was Chef's Kiss highlight of the week, listening to a congressman say you suck.
Great moments in Wisconsin political history.
Only here on Matt and Air on Air.
Right here on this program, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here.
But thank you so much to the congressman for spending some
Absolutely.
Time with us.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate it.
They actually do things.
And big thanks to the people behind the scenes,
Absolutely.
Too. I think they don't get, as one
Enough
of those
credit.
People, I was one of those people, they, you know, wrangling is not easy.
Well, you got 47 meetings, and everybody's pulling at you, and everybody wants something, right?
Yes, so exactly.
There's a lot that goes on behind, and as you said, Greg, those people behind the scenes, all the staff, support staff and everything, they never get any accolades. So
I'm sending it. Matthew and Dane,
big
accolades to you.
Thank you so very much. All right, stay close. Pewaukee Farmers Market is underway, and Civic Media's very own Johnny Watermelon is going to be out there. He is joining us next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Go to the farmer's market, fresh food to eat. Lots of fruits and vegetables, enough for you and me.
Good Lord.
Welcome back. Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator coming through on the board. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin, Calvin pulled that particular song just for you, our next guest.
I got to tell you, Calvin, you made me chuckle there, dude. That was pretty good. You know, you remind me of the Great Oz behind the curtain there, pulling all the levers and stuff, but that was a winner there, Calvin. Thank you so much. Calvin, that was a great intro.
Calvin is the producer. He's all powerful.
I do what I can.
All powerful. He controls
everybody. Made me chuckle.
He controls everybody's volume. Without Calvin, we got nothing. So,
yeah,
right. Johnny Watermelon, you are going to be out at the Pewaukee Farmers Market all summer long, and it's today. It's Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, they do their deal on Wednesdays. They change their location. So they're over at the Galilee Lutheran Church in the parking lot there. I'll tell you, it's a great venue. It's easy to get to. If anybody's familiar with the Pewaukee area, it's just right across from where you normally would turn into the 5 o'clock club, which has been there forever. But the church there, the Galilee Lutheran Church, is hosting this event, and it's really kicked off quite well. Norm Bruce has done a nice job putting that all together, and they got some really great things. And I know, Jane, there's one in particular that you like. I scored up something from Pig and Pastry for you last week, and I could see you're kind of lighting up again. It's one of those things. They've kind of got a little competition over there with Sweet and Sassy. And I think, Greg, you might have had some of that Mississippi Mud Bar that I brought over. So
I had a lot of it.
There's a few vendors over there that are just really carry some great high-quality homemade products, you know. So I'm just so excited to have this new venue. And 540 AM, Waukesha radio station, is there to support them. So please come on down and get some great vegetables. And really, it's a wonderful place to just see people and interact with the community. And speaking about that, so here's something a little different that the Pewaukee Farmers Market does. They have a campfire community conversations thing. So it's ran by Troop 87 there. And what they do is they have this big fire pit. So locals around the area can come in and just kind of shoot the breeze a little bit and get to know each other and not have this confrontational kind of thing.
Where we all have to fight about everything all
the
time.
Yeah, yeah. It's really kind of a relaxed environment. So they do a really nice job there. And who doesn't want to support the Scouts? So that's one that kind of thing that sets them apart a little bit. And then next week, I think it's going to be a little different too, is they're going to have the Big Guys Magic company down there, and they're going to show some magic tricks and how all that works. And doesn't need a little magic in their life, right?
Anytime.
So I thought that was kind of interesting how Norm put that together. So this is going to be some fun events down there.
What time does it start?
It starts at 3 o'clock and goes until 6:30.
When does the magic start? I'm asking this question for Jane right now. Because her face lit up sweet pastries.
I think you're going to have to wait until more of that 6 o'clock hour.
For the magician?
Yeah.
Worth the wait.
For the big guys, magic folks.
It's called magic hour.
The magic man. They're going to make you wait. And you mentioned Pig and Pastry, and I shared that scone with Greg. Well, you brought two scones.
You brought two scones.
My favorite is the maple and bacon, which will change your life. And it's so good.
And I had the raisin and something or
and
other.
Raisin and cinnamon, I think.
Yes. And it was so good because it wasn't, say it on three, one, two, three, dry. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Scones are normally so dry.
And hard. They're just really tough. It's like you got to dunk them in coffee to get there.
Exactly.
You can start a rye with it. Throw a scone through a window.
So Rebecca does a fabulous job. And I've been a customer of hers for a long time. She does a lot of great stuff. But those scones.
They're so good.
They're off the hook.
Yeah.
So please come down. Check it out. And if you don't get there early.
They're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah. She's only got so many. She's got a pretty small setup.
Yeah, but there's enough there. If you get there early, you'll get some.
I love listening to how excited Johnny gets for the farmer's market time. It's wonderful.
But Johnny is a people person.
I love interacting with them. I think it's one of the greatest venues ever.
This was not a criticism. I truly love it. You are like our... You are literally, I believe, Civic Media's farmer's market ambassador.
Well, thank you.
You take us to different places. You introduce this network to wonderful people, and then you come back with stories, and more importantly, sweet treats for me and Jane.
Yeah, so I'm kind of buttering you guys up, though, right? Well, dang it. Calvin, you're going to have to let me know if you like something. We'll get you hooked up.
We'll get Calvin set up, too.
Okay. So I got to tell you.
He loves squirt soda. Get him squirt.
Another little story about, I heard this rumor about this vendor that's at the Pewaukee Market.
Yeah.
I've been at several farmers markets, okay? And a couple of people came by and they said, dude, you got to check out this sourdough vendor. And I'm thinking, well, you know, okay, I got a guy that I like at the Waukesha Market, but, you know, what's the skinny?
What can it hurt?
I go next to him and they got it all set up. And apparently they do something really special with their sourdough. So I bought some and I took it home and it was really fabulous.
Really?
It was just had that nice crust on top, but very soft and moist on the inside. You hit it with a little warm butter. You're a Nirvana man. I'm telling you what, it was really good. Okay. So now that is so cool. But the other cool part about it is that the two guys that run the thing, they're like two younger dudes and they're musicians. And I walk up to the guy and I kind of do my thing. It's like, hey, I'm Johnny Watermelon from WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. And he looks at me deadpan. He goes, my name's Darren. I make bread.
But you know that's the most amazing bread ever.
It was. It's so good. You know, so I'll have to get some more today and bring it in and give you a real taste of what that's like. So that guy kind of knocks it off the out of the park, really, with that sourdough bread. So they make all kinds of different stuff in the sourdough vein. So that market runs through May 15th through August 16th from 3 to 6:30 p.m. It's a little bit smaller venue, but it's really personal.
Yeah,
I really like that thing. There's a couple of weird kind of vendors in there that I just love, that you get a chance to kind of interact with all these little different eclectic kind of interesting vendors. And it's really free enterprise at its best. You know, these are hardworking folks.
Yes, go support
that
them.
That are taking a little risk. So please come on out and support them and stop by our booth and we'll have a little chat.
Yes. Johnny Watermelon from Civic Media going to be out at the Pewaukee Farmers Market this afternoon from 3 until 6:30. Make sure you stop out there, pick up some sourdough bread, pick up some scones. You'll be happy that you did. Thank you so much, Johnny. Really appreciate it. Have fun
this
afternoon.
Jane.
Stay with us. News is coming up next. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's go to the farmer's market, fresh food to eat. Lots of fruits and vegetables, enough for you and me. Honey, cheeses, and fresh baked pies. Herbs and flowers right before your eyes. Peaches, mangoes, apples, kiwi, lettuce and spinach, and lots of green peas. Tomatoes, potatoes, and broccoli. Onions, carrots, and zucchini. Blueberries, blackberries, strawberries,